Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
And good morning. Welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trend-Setting Women. And our topic today, the secret of amazing performance. And our leading lady to discuss that with is Andrea Marshall of Marshall Consulting. Good morning, Andrea. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Barbara. Well, I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, let's jump right into, I have been fascinated with your background, having been a teacher and then working in the corporate world, and how you came about and got, into what you call applied positive psychology. So why don't you share a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, sure. So it really started with my teaching and helping students explore and challenge themselves and sort of set their own goals. I was very interested in, what creates an opportunity for exploration and growth and thinking deeply about questions, not just, we see so much in young people, they want to give you the answer and move on. And I really wanted to help them develop some critical thinking skills. And that was sort of where my journey began. As I moved into the corporate world, I was very interested in sort of high performance and high performing teams. And how do you have people really striving for that next lesson, for really looking for mastery in an area and bringing people together, folks? read lots of books. And ultimately, my path led me to the area I was exploring. I was actually looking for a course on resilience. So I was in the corporate world. I had a team that had undergone a lot of change in a lot of different areas. The processes we were using were being changed and matured. The software tools we were using, we were rolling out a new software tool. We had new executive level management. So there's just all of these changes happening sort of all at once. And people were fatigued, we were seeing kind of low morale, and I was looking for a way, how do we help them develop some resilience in the face of all this change? And in my explorations, I ran across a program on applied positive psychology. And for me, it was a trip down the rabbit hole. It was so fascinating. And it started helping me develop a language for what I was seeing and the work that I had been wanting to do and trying to do all along. Now I had this language and these skills and this knowledge that helped me really understand the things that I was seeing and the things that I was trying to do. I ended up ultimately leaving that corporate job and when I say I went down the rabbit hole, I went deep down the rabbit hole. But I ended up leaving because what I saw in the corporate world is, there's so much opportunity to do it better, and I don't think we really teach people how. We often give them, some goals. Oh, we want you to work on this, but we don't necessarily give them the path. And what I found in positive psychology was the path. And so I left to study positive psychology full time for a bit. I took what I refer to as my sabbatical year to gather myself up and then start to look at how can we teach people to do these things, you know, you read articles in Forbes and you read articles, you know, some like Harvard Business Review papers, and it can introduce concepts and ideas to you, but if you don't know how to then implement that in your own life, that can be a real challenge. So So now my business is, as a former project manager, I'm really focusing on the project management function, although I'm happy to work with anyone who is interested in how do we incorporate positivity and growth and engagement and purpose into our work in order to work in a better way.
I think we've kind of talked a little bit, and we hear a lot about the science of, you know, happiness and the science of flourishing. So I'm assuming this is what you're trying to bring to the corporate world. Can you explain a little bit of what that means?
Yeah,
you know, in
sure.
terms of how would you work with it?
So one of the things, and positive psychology is often referred to as the science of happiness or the science of flourishing. Those are all, they're equivalent sorts of statements. And one of the things that positive psychology really looks at, so if we think about traditional psychology, it's really sort of focused on what's wrong, right? We're looking at what isn't working and how do we sort of fix or improve what isn't working to get people out of that kind of negative space. Positive psychology, although it recognizes sometimes things aren't working and that needs to happen, being not ill isn't the same as being well. And so we're really focused on what is wellness and wellness moving sort of up the scale to thriving. And then ultimately sort of flourishing being that sort of peak apex of well-being where there's sort of vigorous growth and vigorous engagement and really actively being successful and productive.
Those words, thriving and flourishing, are there definitions that help us better understand those? It sounds like a continuum of something, and so I just put it back on you to share a little bit about how they help us.
Yeah, I like to think of it, and one of the ways it was introduced to me is if we think about like a number line that goes from -5 to +5. And in that negative space is where illness, or an illness may be physical, mental, emotional, right? We're in sort of a negative place. And then on the positive side of the number line, we have wellness and well-being. And as you move up that number line, the zero point, and this is another word that maybe we'll want to define, at that zero point where you're sort of not ill but you're not well, that tends to be a term we call languishing, which is getting by. It's something that a lot of us became familiar with during COVID when we were isolated from the people that we loved and our connections. And we weren't really growing. Everybody was just sort of showing up. And then as you move up that number line into a 3 or a 4 where there's a lot of positivity in your life, it doesn't mean that there isn't hardship, but there's you take those times to notice the flower, notice the sunrise, or engage with your friends and laugh and do all of those things that we do socially, and you have work that is interesting and engaging and that helps you feel productive and engaged in the world and in society. As you go up that number line into the 3s and 4s, you start to get into thriving, right? You're sort of at this sort of higher levels of well-being. And then ultimately flourishing, that's that peak, that's that plus five, the sort of apex or top of the mountain of well-being, where your life is really, you know, rich and full. You feel like you're showing up as your best self. You're encountering challenges and you're learning from the failures, and you're using that to help yourself grow and move forward even more when we get into flourishing. Does that help? I think the visual is kind of helpful.
Yeah, I think so too. But so, you know, there's all of these things affect mindset. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, having a mindset would be good. But sometimes I think we get so fixed in our mindsets. Does that reflect it being bad, you know? And how do you explain that in terms of what you do to uplift people out of that languishing section?
That languishing area. Yeah, mindset's interesting because we can actually hold fixed mindsets and growth mindsets at the same time about different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the labels of good and bad can put us in a really judgmental place. And, you know, if there's something that I have a fixed mindset about, it's really just information. And then, you know, we want to ask ourselves, is that fixed mindset getting in my way of the things I want to do in life? Is it limiting me in some way? Where, you know, we sort of think about the alternative to that is a growth mindset. But it's not an either or. These things lie on a continuum. And so I may have a really fixed mindset about and I like to use the example of, like, I brush my teeth twice a day, right? I just do.
Okay.
I have
good for you.
Mindset.
That's all I'll have to say about that one.
I have a fixed mindset that says, this is what you do. I go to the dentist and get my teeth cleaned 3 times a year, and that is how I maintain my oral health. And people can tell me lots of things about, you know, is that good? Is that bad? Should I be doing things different? And yet my mindset is pretty fixed. My teeth are healthy. It's working for me. And I'm good with that. It's not that's necessarily bad or good. Now, if I start to have dental issues, I may want to think about, is my mindset causing me to ignore feedback that says, well, that's really not enough for healthy gums, and your brushing isn't enough, so maybe you want to include flossing or a water pick or some other things. And so then I might start to question, well, is this mindset serving me? There are lots of things that we may have a fixed mindset about, but if they're not preventing us from growing and moving forward, we want to put our energies on the places where we actually want to grow and move forward. We have,
you know,
so many decisions we have to make during the day, and there's so many things we encounter that really, where do we want to put our effort?
Well, you know, you're in an interesting spot there, you know, because I see it a lot with people. And, you know, I often tell people, well, you know, awareness is one thing, but you have to then become, understand what it is that's keeping you in that bad spot or mindset, mm-hmm. in order to then make the change. A lot of people aren't willing to make that or even stop to be, you know, the awareness just blows by them. And I work a lot with people in terms of their positive mental attitude and the words that they use that affect it. So I guess, you know, that the word I read in some of your notes was cognitive bias, and where does it come from? Is that part of it?
It certainly can be. You know, when we think about mindset and where mindset comes from, mindset is something that really comes, you know, it comes from our upbringing and our experiences, the culture we grew up in, the parenting that we had or didn't have, as the case may be, our educational influences, and the influences of all of the people around us. And cognitive biases are formed in the same way. And again, the word bias can tend to have some negative connotation. And it's not a positive or negative, right? It's just saying these are the beliefs and attitudes we hold and perspectives that are shaped by the world around us. And so oftentimes we aren't even aware of how it is we're showing up. Awareness is the first step, right, to start to,
right.
to become that. And that's where over time, encountering new information, encountering new experiences can start to help us go, oh, wow, I do have a fixed mindset or some sort of a limiting belief about something. And, you know, okay, well, I do, somebody's pointed out, I do see that's getting in my way. Or it can even happen with, like, maybe I've moved and I see a peer group that just operates in the world differently than maybe my friends and peers in the past have. They say if you want to succeed, surround yourself but with successful people, because you can start to see how they think and how they operate in the world very differently. And so you start to move from, you know, I may have had, and I'll use challenge, the way we work with challenges in the world. We may have grown up believing that we should avoid challenges because if we fail, we're going to look bad, right? And that's a potential threat. So I'm going to avoid. And now, you know, you start to see these people who are taking on challenges and overcoming challenges, and you're like, man, I want to be like them, but I don't know how to do that. So we start to help people, you know, start to take on easy challenges that are maybe sort of low risk, and then start to develop some goals that are a little bit more, you know, we like to call things stretch goals, of kind of reaching a little bit further and working for. And over time, we can start to develop a mindset where we really begin to enjoy and embrace being challenged because we start to see how it affects us and affects that growth. But it's certainly, you know, as you know, Barbara, it's not flipping a switch, right? It starts with awareness then a desire to actually change.
Exactly.
And if the awareness and the desire aren't there, then...
you're stuck. That's where you, then you're really set, right?
Yeah, then you are stuck.
Well, before we continue, I'd really like to go into a quick moment to recognize one of our sponsors and partners, and we'll be back in just a minute here. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be one of the largest private nonprofit universities, founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the United States and around the globe, with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. Thank you for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. And since we're on the subject of that, I guess I would ask you how, you know, if people would want to get in touch with you, Andrea, how would you like them to reach you? Is there an email address or your website or a phone number? Would you like to share that with them?
Yeah, reaching me through my website is probably the best way. I do have a contact form. And the nice thing about that is then, you know, I have a couple of questions about what area of interest people are in. So contacting me through my website at positivelymarshall.com is probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Excellent. Well, there's, you know, one thing that I think, you know, if you're going into obviously companies to work on these, helping people flourish more. Is there research that people can, a business owner or company can use to support you know, the ongoing success of their business? This sounds so individual, and I'm a little curious about how you present it to businesses and what they can do to expand it.
Yeah. So applied positive psychology is research-based. So there's lots and lots of research out there. And when I do go in and work with businesses, I do share the particular articles or the sources that I'm using for the work I do. I also do like to bring in, I'm a science nerd at heart, so I like to bring in some of the science behind it, especially, so we're talking about mindset. You know, one of the really great things about mindset is when we look at the brain and how the neural networks in our brain develop and grow, the brain has what we call neuroplasticity, which is the ability of neural networks to change through growth and reorganization. So if when the brain is wired to respond to the world in a certain way, we actually can rewire those neural connections through things like habit change and attentiveness and doing things differently, and we can start to change the way that the brain functions. So there's some really amazing research about both the kind of physiological things that happen as our neurons kind of shift and change and rewire, and then also sort of how people interact and react. And it very much positive psychology, the term was really sort of anchored into being by a man named Martin Seligman. Who he's called the father of positive psychology sometimes. And he defines positive psychology as the scientific study of optimal human growth. And he has lots of books and things that he's written over the years in regards. Another key researcher is Carol Dweck. Carol Dweck works a lot with mindset, so her books were sort of the initial sort of formative mindset. Lots of people have followed on with her work, challenged it, and that's one of the things I love about positive psychology is people will look at the research that's come before, they'll challenge it a little bit, and then do new studies and do some things around that. There was a key study that was done. The results came out last year that's really interesting, looking specifically for organizations at well-being and company profitability. So
wow.
1,600, over 1,600 companies were looked at in this particular study, and they looked at, you know, how were employees self-reporting their well-being on sites like Indeed and Glassdoor and sort of these places that were sort of anonymous. And so what were the well-being scores for various companies based on those questions? And then they took a look at those same companies and what were their S&P performance, what did that look like? What were their profitability statements looking like? And they found a statistically significant correlation. Companies with higher well-being scores also tended to have greater profitability. So having studies like that that we can, you know, take a look at together with a business and say, here's what this latest research says, here's the way that these things can help you, and now let's talk about what does that look like for your organization. Because what works in one organization or what fits in one organization may or may not be the same in another, you know.
Okay. So it comes from an assessment of what they're seeing among their employees and you know, even themselves with trying to manage those people.
Yep. That is absolutely correct. Because we're all very individual, right? And so the cultures that form around the personalities that are within that culture. Some companies may have power dynamics as a key issue that is creating some issues in their organization. And in some ways that may be serving them, but in other ways holding them back. While other organizations may have a real engagement problem with the way that employees are connected. You know, do employees have connection to the cause or the purpose of the business? Do they see themselves as really critical to the business success, or do they see their job as just showing up? And that can be a real challenge for a business.
My understanding from somebody else is that a lot of it has to do with the age groups, you know, the Gen, you know, Z's, X's, Y's, whatever comes into it. But that has created a lot of that, what you're talking about, in companies, the disconnection.
Yeah, I had a really interesting conversation the other day with a gentleman who's a manager at a bank, and you know, feeling a lot of frustration about kind of the generational differences. And I think one of the things that it's important for leaders to realize, and leadership levels tend to be people who have been involved in the business longer, so they may be a bit older than the new people coming right out of school, where it's an early career person. And, you know, they're growing up in a very different world than we grew up in. You know, we grew up in a world, or at least for myself, I grew up in a world where, you know, you showed up on time because that was the rule. And that was how business worked. And we have these young people who have grown up with varying degrees of social emotional learning within their educational system, where a rule isn't enough, right? They've always learned that there has to be a reason and a connection for it. And so speaking to those younger folks around, well, to say, you show up at work because that's the rule, or you show up on time because that's the rule, like that doesn't fly for them. They want to know why the rule exists. They want to know what the reason for the rule is. And so it can sometimes even offer an opportunity for us to challenge our own thinking. Well, why is there this rule? And does this rule make sense? So if we can approach it with some curiosity instead of just like, oh, we're this way and they're that way, which tends to kind of be like, why don't they understand? If we can start to be curious about, well, how are they thinking and how might they be questioning these things that are happening, it can create some really interesting exchanges, and it can help us really help them understand the importance of how things need to operate in a business world and give them some agency into the work that they're doing.
Well, just before we have to end this, how would you kind of wrap this up for a company? You know, what is the perhaps the first thing that they really need to take a look at? Number one, whoever you're dealing with, be it the HR person or the owner of the business, what would they look at within themselves, or would they look at in the business itself?
I think I always start with get curious. You know, is your environment working in the way that you want it to? And get really curious about, well, what is the way that you want it to, right? What does that look like? What does, and I'll use Seligman's wordings again, what does optimal functioning within our business world really look like? And do we have that? And even within ourselves, and are there ways to challenge myself? So I love curiosity. I love challenge and this idea that better is possible. And what does better look like and how do we get there?
Great. Well, I'm sorry to say that this is our show for the day, but I'd certainly like to thank Andrea Marshall, our guest, for being our leading lady today. And, of course, a special thanks to all of our listeners, both in the United States and internationally, as we are on an international show. We'll be back again, Women Lead Radio, on Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time and on Fridays at 2 p.m. It's my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a very, very profitable Awareness Week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence. the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.